would like to have a brief conversation with you after church. So we're not going to be real long-winded today. Amen. Don't act like y'all ain't glad to hear that. Children's Church? Okay, yeah, well, Children's Church is now open, amen? Amen. Rams in the bushes, amen? Today we're going to be dealing with part 13 of the book of Acts. Part 13 of the book of Acts. Amen. Amen. Excited about this children's church ministry and the way that it's taking off. Amen. Since the first Sunday of January, we have been dealing with a sermon series that Satan has been trying to sabotage from the very beginning. And I think I know why he's been trying to sabotage it. He has been at war with this series because he understands that if you and I, all of us, were to get this, I mean really get this series, it would change everything. And I mean everything. You know, our ministry is made up of a lot of special people, amen? And the reason why, from the pastor down, and the reason that I say that is because if people were to hear the testimonies of everybody in the room, it would be evident that God did something special. Amen. And I don't know about anybody else in here, but I'm glad that God don't need nobody else's opinion or advice. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't just be able to not be saved. I wouldn't be able to stand here today. Amen. And so when I say things like Satan has been at war against this series because he's afraid. He understands that if you and I get this series, if we get this deep down on the inside of us, that it's going to shift some things. And he can't afford that, not with a ministry like this one. See, because this ministry is comprised or made up of a bunch of ex-men and women. Y'all heard me talk about it a couple of weeks ago. Ex-strippers and ex-prostitutes and ex-drug dealers and ex-drug addicts and ex-shooters and ex and ex. And you understand what I'm saying to you. If there's an ex for it, baby, we got it. And Satan understands that who better to go in the strip clubs and who better to talk to the stripper more than the ex-stripper? Who's better to talk to the drug dealer better than the ex-drug dealer? So when it comes to the educational part of this ministry, when it's time for you to learn things that are going to be key and critical to your ministry, how many of you understand all of you have a ministry? Let me make my point. That young lady that called your phone about 2:30 in the afternoon yesterday going through some things, that's your ministry. She could have called anybody, but she called you. Because 9 times out of 10, you are the closest connection to God that she has. And so if I could just get it in your head, you understand what I'm saying? How important you are, how powerful you are, how necessary you are to the kingdom of God. man, we would be unstoppable. There are some young ladies doing an ungodlike thing for an ungodlike high right now. And if I could just loose about 4 or 5 people on them right now in the name of Jesus, they would have a conversation with that young lady, you understand, to tell them, I know what you're going through. I've been where you are, but there is a man and his name is Jesus. You don't have to be trying to sabotage. You know, I am convinced that there was at one time and still is a demonic hit put on my head. Because you don't find this strange that the night that we broke the fast going into the new year, for me to wake up about 10 the next morning and can barely move, that ain't coincidence. And let me tell you why that was so powerful, because we fasted and it was just for 3 days. And some people might be like, oh, 3 days. You try it with no substance. You know what I'm saying to you? And there was people that had never fasted before, and we gave them the option. We said, check this out. You can have fruits and vegetables when you get those cravings. Just keep the fast. And they said, nah, we're going to do it all the way. And Satan began to wage war. He has been at war with this series, again, because if he understands that if we get it, he has attacked my health to the point that it has kept me out of church. And the plan he thought was going to work was if we went enough Sundays with me gone, y'all would lose interest and intensity about this series. Because at the beginning of this series, we was all on fire for God. We was all on fire when it came to the book of Acts. But I can sense that the fire has somewhat died down a bit. But we're going to fix that today, if the Lord allows. Amen. The reason for this series, and I need you to lock in on this, the reason for this series is not just to go through the book of Acts to say that we did, but rather to better understand the early church's mission, what it was truly all about, and what it is still about to this day, to expand the kingdom of God and to win lost souls to Jesus. I know YouTuber have you tripping when it comes to church, but the mission was and still is winning souls to Christ. Huh? See, you can grow a big church in numbers, but if you don't have a big church in faith, in spirit for real, the spirit of God for real, you really all you got is a get together, amen. That's what we're called to do, to win lost souls to Jesus. The desire, the hope and prayer is that this series will set you on fire for God. And we know what fire does, amen? It spreads. And as your fire spreads, it catches others on fire, and we keep winning souls to Jesus. Think about this, beloved. You on fire for God, and then all of a sudden you get next to a few people and they catch a flame. You understand what I'm saying to you? That just a spark can get something serious started. And then the next thing you know, you see them in 2 weeks. They walk into church in two weeks with 10 people with them. But you only witnessed to one. But baby, it was the fire. It was the flame. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so as your fire spreads, it catches others on fire. But here has been the problem. And it has been our problem since the very beginning. And it will be our problem until the end if we don't make a conscious effort to do something about it. And the problem that I'm speaking of, the problem that I'm speaking about is not new. In fact, I would say this problem is an age-old problem, not just for Growth Temple, but it has been a problem for every church in the world that preaches the real gospel of Jesus Christ. And the problem is, you ready for it? Sin. Who knew? And sin wouldn't be such a grave problem if the flesh was in check. Lord, have mercy. See, sin is an indicator that your flesh is running the show. Oh, Lord. Huh? I don't know if you know this or not, but flesh is lightweight cool with sin. And sin, Lord have mercy, it don't mind hanging out with the flesh. Huh? But sin gonna be sin, but flesh ain't got to be flesh. Flesh can be killed. Amen? And in fact, in your home every day, there ought to be an assassination. There needs to be an act of spiritual violence before you start the day. The first person you need to punch in the mouth is that old man. Amen? So some of you might be saying, I ain't got no old man. No, baby, that means the old man got you. You don't think you got no old man, then I promise you, you're operating in the old man. And some of you say, well, if I'm operating in the old man, why are you still so cool with me? Because the old man lie good. Lord, have mercy. The problem is sin. And the reason sin has been the problem is mostly because of the instant gratification that it brings. I want to tell you a little bit about instant gratification and what it is. And all I want you to do for real, if this explains you, if this explains you, I don't want you to be ashamed of it. I don't want you to think that I'm shading you. You can't fix what you don't know. Amen. So I want you to be real if this explains you. And if it does, there needs to, ain't no reason to be feeling bad about it. We just got to decide that we're going to do something about it. What upsets me more than anything in the world is when we show you where you need to grow, where we show you where you need to heal, when we show you what the problem is and you admit to it, but still don't do nothing about it. Huh? And it's kind of like when you, back in the day, you know, we're saved by these luxury cars today. But back in the 80s, when you had a whip and it said you needed an oil change, and you could look at it on the thing and it says need an oil change. But you didn't change the oil. Why are your car running so funny? Oh, it might be that I need an oil change. I ain't got time. And then all of a sudden, watch this, we get mad when the car break down. But it told you for months, I need an oil change. When the elders, when the apostles, when the pastors, when the bishops, when all of them begin to tell you, here's what's catching you up. Here's what's messing you up. Here's what's keeping you off your square. Here's what needs to be dealt with. And you say, you know what? I know I'm nasty. I ain't even gonna lie. I know I got a mouth on me. I know I can be a trip. I know all of that. But I ain't gonna do nothing about it. So then. A little on down the road, you break down. And you're more surprised than everybody. Huh? So we want you to do something about it when you know you're out of alignment with God. Do something about it. Huh? Instant gratification is the desire to experience pleasure or fulfillment without delay. Let me read that again. Instant gratification is the desire to experience pleasure or fulfillment without delay. Now, in a culture of high-speed internet, same-day delivery, and instant streaming, our brains are trained to expect everything immediately. One day we were on a FaceTime call. My wife and I, we were on a FaceTime call with our grandson, and he's really got her, Noah, and he's really got her wrapped around his finger. You understand what I'm saying to you? So he wanted a Spider-Man, you know, they fly out and hit you a web thing or whatever, right? And so he had told his mother that he wanted this Spider-Man web thing. And I guess she didn't say what was necessary or, you know, and so he calls his grandmama on FaceTime and he says, Gigi, I got my Spider-Man suit, but I need the web thing. And she said, baby, you got it. And he gets up. Watch this. This is the moral of what I'm talking about. He gets up from the FaceTime, looks in the closet in his bedroom, and shuts the door, comes back to the phone and says, Gigi, it ain't here yet. It ain't in there. Huh? Truth being told, how many of you have had some Noah moments? When there were some things that you wanted, some things that you needed, and you just want, and you understand what I'm saying to you? And soon as you done praying, you think it's waiting in the driveway. Huh? And it's really unfair to God, right? Because when you don't get what you want right then this must not be for me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So, when this mindset is carried into our spiritual lives, this instant gratification, right? It creates a dangerous mismatch. God, and I want you to catch this, God rarely works on an instant timeline. And he is not at all concerned about the timelines that we create for him. Let me deal with this. Let me deal with this a little bit. He's not on your timeline. Amen. He is not on your timeline. In fact, when dealing with God, it would be a great thing to not even bring up time because he doesn't operate in time. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I don't want to stray away from my notes because I got some good stuff here. But not only is he not on our timeline, don't waste time creating one. Amen. The problem for us is, here it is, the Bible is filled with seasons of waiting. Abraham waited 25 years for his promised son. Joseph spent years in prison. David waited over a decade to become the king after he had already been announced. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now I need you to catch this. Here's what I wanted to say. If you expect instant results, then what'll mess around and happen is you will interpret God's wait as God's no. And even deeper, as God's absence. See, I've been told no before. That didn't bother me. I heard God's no before. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the absence, Lord, have mercy. See, when God says no, I don't die about it or cry about it because I understand that he knows something I don't. So my faith is at a point where if it can't go down the way I want it to, I'm not tripping because I understand that he's saving me from something. But, beloved, what Satan would love to do is to make you think that God's no or God's wait equates to absence, him not in your life. Anybody in here saved? And you made a mistake or two? And really it was a bad choice and this, that, and the other. And you ever made a bad choice and stayed in it for a little while? Oh, Lord. Yeah. So long that God says, I'm not turning you over to reprobate. It's not that deep as of yet, but I'm going to step back from you for a little bit. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember how that felt? I'm talking about you could get a raise on your job. Huh? You could get all types of good news, but man, when the presence is gone, Now, let me just go ahead and hip you to something so that you understand. So if some of you really don't get the gist or the depth of God's presence being removed from your life, that's because God's presence was never in your, okay. And that ain't no shade. That ain't no shade. In fact, if you don't really understand what I'm talking about, I expect to see you after church saying, hey, pastor, you said this. What? How do I get to the place where he's in my life? Imagine Jesus said to some guys that came up to him, Pastor Sonia, and said, and they said, Lord, Lord, you know, we've done all of this. And bruh said, you know, we did it all in your name. And Jesus said, depart from me, I don't know you. You know what the scary part about that is to me? Is they thought they were in. They thought, you understand what I'm saying to you? So he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if how they was getting down back then avoided them the opportunity to get to heaven, what makes us think that the things have changed now? His standard has changed now. Listen, beloved, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with a white lie. I don't care if it's an orange, blue, or purple lie. It's sin. And let me tell you why something so deep could keep you out of heaven, because he put his son on it. Let me ask them, how many parents I got in the room? Just a show of hands. How many parents I got in the room? All right. And so check this. How many of you would be okay to give your child up to the most gruesome death to ever had happened, and the people that you did it for don't play by the rules? How many of you would be upset? Do you understand why you ain't playing games about? Oh God. So these guys thought they were in. One of my favorite verses, and I know it's going to sound crazy, it's my favorite verse, but I don't got it all the way memorized, because I didn't need it all the way memorized, because there was a part in there that blew my mind to the point to where I had to get myself together. And it basically said, it was 1 Corinthians 9:27, and it says this: I don't want to get everybody else in, then can't get in myself. I don't want to get everybody else in, but just to find out that I'm disqualified. Yeah. I don't want to. You understand what I'm saying to you? I don't want to be known to preach, but my secret life, Lord have mercy. My undisciplined life keeps me disqualified. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? Lord, don't let me preach everybody else into heaven, but I don't make it in myself. You know what was heartbreaking to me when I first began to read the Gospels and I began to understand the Word of God? How many people had went on that wasn't in this Word, but was in church every Sunday? And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. So we can't go by granny's standard of the gospel. We can't go by auntie's, version of the gospel. The standard of being saved. We can only go by the Word of God. And let me tell you this, beloved, operating in the Word of God and by the Word of God and through the Word of God will make you unpopular. Huh? Listen, I want a relationship with God so tough that y'all don't like me. Yeah. Because when you run up to me and you say stuff like, oh, you preach. Pastor Sonia, you know what I'm talking about? When you preached. You did your thing. That means I failed. Because in the flesh, did you hear me? In the flesh, you should hate my guts. Yeah. Yeah. I invite that hate. If y'all walk past me and be like, I'm about sick of you and your messages on holiness, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Go on Facebook and be like, I can't stand Pastor Lyons or Growth Temple Ministries, but I'll be back there next Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? See, because I love you. I love you. Can I take it deeper? And because I love you, I don't care nothing about you liking me. I want to see you in the after. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me. Huh? I y'all know me. I'm petty. Soon as I see y'all, but I'll be like, you welcome. Is that pride? Will it keep me out? I'm okay. Y'all still in heaven talking about, I still can't stand him. Amen. Amen. All right. Listen, the problem with having a problem, when God says, wait, the problem with misinterpreting that the wrong way is one of the things you'll do is you'll give up on your prayers too soon. Anybody ever been guilty of that? You prayed it. It was really important. It was so important that I thought you should have moved on it immediately. This is one of those, by the time I get up off my knees prayers, that this is done and it should be done because you understand the magnitude of what it is that I'm praying to you about. And then you get up and ain't nothing happened. In fact, things done got worse. I done walked away from a many a prayer, good prayer too. I mean, well put together. Because I misinterpreted God's weight. Huh? You'll mess around and abandon spiritual breakthroughs that only come through, get these two words, sustained endurance. I want you to catch that. Sustained endurance. And what that is, and I'm going to say it slow because it's kind of a long definition, and I'm sorry that I don't have everything like I usually do it for you guys, but starting next week, God willing, everything going to be the bomb. All right, here's sustained endurance. It is the body's physical and mental ability to maintain a continuous effort or activity over an extended period without succumbing to exhaustion. That's deep. Now, I'm gonna repeat what I said earlier. I'm gonna repeat some things that I just said earlier so that we can rock with this sustained endurance the right way, okay? So get this. Instant gratification is a desire to experience pleasure or fulfillment without delay. Let's deal with that definition real quick. Instant gratification is simply wanting what you want now instead of going through the process. A great example of this would be relationships. Okay. I want to ask a couple questions, and I need you to raise your hand if this is you. And this isn't to shame anyone, beloved, but rather make sure you see the issues if the issues are there. And I ain't forgot about sustained endurance. We're going to get to that. How many single people do we have in this building right now? Go on, throw your hands up. All right. Now, next question. How many of you that are single would one day love to marry your soulmate and live happily ever after? That's not an unreasonable request, right? I mean, we don't get married to be like, send me somebody I can't stand, Lord. All right. So get this. Now, here's where it gets real. Here's where it gets real. So God's order is meet someone. You get to know one another. I mean, really know one another. Over time, you fall in love, and then you get married, right? But that takes time. Lord, have mercy. And see, this is what I want to be sure of. Some of you want to get married. So you can woo, woo, woo. Hmm. I am convinced. I don't care about you looking over it like that, Sonya. I am convinced that the church would be a healthy church if every single person had someone. And I know that's a lie. Why? Because the person that they would get would be their God instead of God. Now, some of the married people is going, amen, that's right. And the only reason why y'all doing that with all that confidence is because you married. But you know before you was married, So getting married takes time. And that's not to be done in a couple of months. Not saying that you shouldn't be married after a couple of months of dating. I'm just saying it could end bad. Miriam and I were married after 3 months. And though we are still together and going strong, in the beginning, it was rough because, to be honest, we really didn't know each other. You see what I'm saying to you? You know? I mean, after all that, I begin to see all of her flaws. I know the men better not let her do nothing to me in here. I know that. Y'all heard last Sunday was our 17th year anniversary, and I rolled over and said, did you thank him? She said, who? I said, God. She said, for what? I said, girl, for me, 17 years, you blessed. Listen, I'm going to tell you some things, and I want you to know that I'm not trying to be vulgar or out of order in the pulpit or disrespectful or any of that, but I do feel that the church has failed many people due to the conversations that wasn't had from the pulpit. So let me ask again real quick, and then we're going to stay on point, and we're almost done in about 7 minutes. How many single people do we have in the building? Next question was, how many of you single people would love to marry your soulmate and live happily ever after? Now, how many of us have tried, there's a new question, to rush the process when it comes to being in a relationship and eventually getting married? Anybody ever rush the process? Okay, all right. And what I mean by rush the process is you begin to do married things before you was actually married. Beloved, let me say this to you. Anytime you go up against God's divine order, you will not experience God's divine order. You understand what I'm saying to you? So how many of you rushed the process? And how did it work out? Now listen to this and let it bless you. In a culture of high-speed internet, same-day delivery, and instant streaming, our brains are trained to expect everything immediately. When the mindset is carried into our spiritual lives, it creates a dangerous mismatch. God rarely works on an instant timeline. If you expect instant results, you will interpret God's wait as God's no, or worse, God's absence. So here's where we begin to get free, because we are about to get some understanding. Now, I need you to hear me and hear me good. When God is saying, hold on, wait, or not yet, that isn't God saying no. It's really God saying, I know what you don't. I need you to hold on because I know all about this situation. You only know what they've given you. See, the first 2 months of courting, dating, you get the representative. You don't really get the real person. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Now get this. Answer this. Everyone in the room, please, whether you are married or single, by show of hands, how many of you have been in some relationships that if you had to do it again, you would have waited? Amen. Awesome. Over here. Okay. Amen. Now get this. Again, sustained endurance is the body's physical or mental ability to maintain a continuous effort or activity for an extended period of time without succumbing to exhaustion. So, get this, when it comes to the things of God, you have to maintain a continuous effort over an extended period without succumbing to exhaustion. In other words, you can't get tired of doing the right thing. Ain't that where you get us? Ain't that where you get us when we tired? Huh? And see, that's what the enemy is banking on, that we will get tired of going to bed alone, so we disrupt the kingdom process. That we will get tired of struggling with so many bills, that we will get caught up in some type of illegal activity disrupting the kingdom process. But baby, how many of you single ladies know that God is allowing you to go through what you're going through, watch this, not just for you, but your daughter is watching how you hold yourself chaste and say, not until there's a ring on my finger, not until I've got your last name. You understand? With your chastity, with your obedience, with your discipline, you are training the daughters and young baby girls in your life. I'm going to tell you why it's a struggle. Because we've not yet understood our worth. You mean to tell me, because I tell people all the time, I think that you should, if you talk about getting married, all right, and you ask her and you say, and she said, yeah, I think you ought to wait a year. At least a year. You know why? Y'all saying yes, but you don't know about no year. I was already waiting. And listen, let me tell you why. First of all, watch this. You wait a year. You ready for this? And he got to give you a key to his crib. Why? So at 3 a.m. when I'm feeling some type of way, and because I'm not letting you, I got to be sure that you ain't with nobody else. Oh, that's deep. That's deep. I got some single men here like, hey, Pastor. Let me tell you why it's hard. I'm going to tell you why it's hard to wait when God tells us to wait, because we don't necessarily believe that we're worth the wait. Because if I was worth the wait, what happened last time? If I was worth the wait, you understand what I'm saying to you. And so when you're pursuing relationships seriously, the first thing that you got to get rid of is the days of the past. You can't think everybody gonna treat you like that person treated you, because if that's what you do, you will never be happy. But what's most important, man or woman, if you're single, is that you know your worth. Am I worth waiting on for a year? Am I worth you not sleeping with nobody else during the year? Am I worth? Yes. What am I worth to you? But more important, you need to be concerned with what are you worth to yourself. See, when you know what you're worth to yourself, you ain't really pressed about what you're worth to them. That don't matter. I'm not going to play me because I know what I'm worth. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not going to play me because I am in covenant with Abba, my Father. And if it's for me, Lord, have mercy. Can we just be real, males and females? How many of us deal with that? Don't nobody believe in waiting a year, and don't nobody do it no more. And that mentality is why we've got people walking around here with diseases that they can't get rid of. Don't make them bad people. They just believed that ain't nobody going to find me worth waiting for. So we do things that will keep the one that we believe God has sent to us. Well, if God has sent it to him, you ain't got to do nothing, baby. Huh? All right, let me get on out here, because y'all. I want you to catch this. The enemy wants you to believe that God ain't for you, that God doesn't love you as much as he seems to love the other people in the church. And when you get to thinking like that, it becomes hard to do what's right. You get tired of doing the right thing but seeing no results. And the next thing you know, the enemy has you. I'll deal with that another time. Anybody real enough in here to say it? That you've sat in a church service or two, watched sister you know who or brother him to, worship and praise God, walk in with their wife, their husband, nice car they go out to, probably got a really nice house, and you sitting back and you doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, you're keeping the word of God. Why isn't this playing out for you, right? And you get tired, right? And that's what the enemy is banking on, that you'll get tired and then try to help God out. God don't need your help. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, let me tell you something. You got to be grown to walk this walk. You have got to be grown to walk this walk. You've got to have the strength to be able to say no to what needs to be said no to and yes to what needs to be said yes to. And it ain't going to always be comfortable. Many of you remember that. Let's get on into the sermon. I just need 5 minutes. Don't worry. I promise. Okay, I ain't going to say I promise because I'm probably lying, but I need... Pray for me, Jesus. I need about 7 minutes. Is that all right? You said 7 minutes the last time. The praise team sung long. Give me my time now. So many of you, if you've been here, will remember that we're going through the book of Acts. It's probably going to take us the whole year and some change. But if you remember in chapter 3, Peter had just done a miraculous feat. Amen. And what he done was he healed a man by speaking in Jesus' name. And now they have been brought before the religious leaders or rulers of that time, and they asked him a question. They said, whose name have you done this in? And then Peter just gives them the business. Amen. So for the next few verses, Peter is on shut them down. And so when we look at verses 8 through 11, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? In other words, Peter was saying, are you tripping because we gave somebody the ability to walk? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And if you know anything about stones and all of this and building and all this, the cornerstone is the strongest, right, a part of the building, and it also gives way for things to be built from it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then verse number 12 is big. It's a big verse in scripture. Salvation is found in no one else except Jesus. There is no other name under heaven in all creation throughout all of history. There is no other name but the name of Jesus by which we must be saved. No other name will do. Now look at verses 13 and 14. The members of the council were amazed. Underscore that part. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. Did you hear that, beloved? The religious leaders of the time thought that they were running something, but the Bible says in verse number 13, once Peter was done, they were amazed. Lord, have mercy. That they were amazed when they seen the boldness of Peter and John. Look at the next part. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They didn't have a PhD in pastoral ministries. They knew nothing of exegeting the text. They wasn't walking around suited and booted. They were regular cats with a regular makeup. But something had happened. Lord, have mercy. Woo! Something had happened. Something was different. These wasn't the men that they had known in times past. And in the next part of verse 13, the last part of verse 13 that gets me pumped, it says, they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Beloved, I want you to know something. I want you to understand something about somebody who's been with Jesus. Folk will treat you different once folk realize you've been with Jesus. And I ain't talking about that pity patty cake, you know, that weak, frail, anemic been with Jesus experience. I'm talking about you have locked your life in the scriptures. You understand what I'm saying to you? From the beginning to the end, you walk this thing out. You understand what I'm saying to you? And some of you messed around and left where you were known to be and came back. But while you was gone, you had an experience with Jesus. And when you got back, folk began to understand that when it came to you and the things of you, nothing would ever be the same again because you had been with Jesus. If it's anybody in the building that knows what I'm talking about, I dare you stand to your feet and give God a praise, because people can't play you like they used to. You've been with Jesus. People can't dog you like they used to. You've been with Jesus. People can't belittle you like they used to, because, beloved, you've been with Jesus. Oh, now you got an attitude. No, baby, I've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. Y'all have a seat. I'm done. Let me tell you this, and I'm serious, and this is going to get real deep real quick, and it's not even going to take long. You ready? Satan don't fool with people that's been with Jesus. Now I want you to hear me, okay? Because some of you are going, yes, he do. No shade, okay? I want you to get this, okay? Satan don't fool with people that's been with Jesus. I ain't talking about I go to church. I'm not talking about some auxiliary or some title that you hold in the building. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have become one in word and in deed with your instructor. When you begin to read the word of God, and as you begin to read it, and you're going, I know I'm not perfect, but I am this book. And there's a faulty gospel out there where people are telling other people, you can't do the book. You can't walk this thing out the way the Bible says walk it out. And your response to that should be, no, maybe you can't walk it out. Let me tell you something. Because to live in the scriptures means that you have lived in sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying to you? You had to turn a whole lot of things down. Satan don't want to play games with someone who is in relationship with Jesus. Ain't no win in that. And some of us are trying to figure out, well, if that's the truth, why is it that he is dog walking me in this season of my life? Beloved, I love you, and y'all know I love you, but the problem is you are not in scripture where you need to be. And there has to be a choice. There comes a time where you got to draw a line in the sand, and you have to decide, for him I live and for him I die. You keep on dealing with that preaching stuff, that church stuff, I'm going to leave you. Peace. You didn't save me, baby. I owe you nothing like that. We don't call you because we know you don't like to get down like we don't get down. Well, don't not just call me. Take my number out your phone because that ain't changing. So I'm saying this. Very, y'all couple up here? Y'all couple? Very powerful people. Very powerful people. Very powerful people. You gotta surrender yourself. You gotta surrender yourself. Now listen, and this is what I desire to do. You know, like, and I explained it a while back, a couple of weeks ago, like the X-Men, you know, you watch that movie and they get to their house and you know, they're turning into ice and people just keep walking. And they turn into fire. And people just, you know, like, oh, that's fine. And then they walk through walls and nobody is excited. Because this is expected. I know we special. I know we can do some things that some other people can't do. When we walk into the house of God and I'm walking down the hallway, you remember I said this, and Wilma had a headache. And I didn't know, but I walked past her and Wilma's headache is gone. And she jumps up and says, I don't know what happened, but when you walk past me, my headache was gone. I shouldn't be like, are you serious? I should just be like, bless the Lord and keep it moving. That's what we are. We're healers. We're you understand what I'm saying to you? We're world changers. We shift the atmosphere. And until but so here's the thing. That means you've got to be all in. And it amazes me how we could be all in for Satan, get saved from Satan, and then want to give God what's convenient. Satan and sin have you out all hours of the night. But you can't miss your TV show to go pray with a church member that's going through a serious thing. You see what I'm saying? So there's this need. There's this major need, okay? And that need is that you fall crazily, unexplainably, unapologetically in love with Jesus. That means we don't listen to certain things no more. And you know, I used to hear preachers when they would say stuff like that, and I would be like, man, they so old. That's what the old, let me tell you something, I'm starting to learn as I get older, the old way wasn't necessarily the bad way. You understand what I'm saying to you? But if you want to be in a place where hell looks at you and be like, I don't even want that smoke, then you're going to have to put yourselves in a posture that you've probably never been in your life, and that is everything God. Everything God. Everything God. They just kids. You see how distracted y'all got? What you think the enemy going? Like, what you think you gonna do when the enemy throw you something? Oh yes, deep. Oh, we got an unapology. Is butterfly? Is those children? They y'all's children. What you so? And some of you in here are training them. So some of you in here are showing them the righteousness of God, or you're showing them hypocrisy. And whichever one it is, you'll see them live it out, because the person that they trusted more than anybody in the world did Christianity this way. In closing, come here, Kev. There's going to be some people that when they see Kevin whole and healed, the Bible says they could say nothing, because the one who had been lame in his feet since birth, he was standing right here. There's going to be some haters in your life that when you begin to engulf yourselves in the scriptures, when everything is the word to you, there's going to be some people in your life, some haters in your life. Watch this. Some family in your life that's going to give credit to everything Kevin's going through but Jesus. They're going to call you fakers. They're going to call you, you know, they mock us because they can't understand us. This used to be one of the worst people on the planet. Now he's serving God. How? But you look like, Lord have mercy, somebody that's been with Jesus. Satan ain't afraid of your cute Facebook post. He's not even studying catchy Christian sayings that you done learned over the last couple of months. He only has a true fear for people that has been with Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap for you.